Okay, Abai, so let's begin. We are up to the middle of the second pasuk in Megillas Esther. Let's start with pasuk Beis. Bayomim hohem kesheves hamelech Achashverosh. Okay, it was in those days, during this era of the era of Achashverosh, during the Tkufa when he ruled over 127 Medinois, which we learned last week either means at a time in his life when how many Medinas were there in the world? This is a very big point of discussion. According to most of the Midrashim, there were 100 and 262 Medinas in the world. So he ruled over 252 Medinas in the world, which means that he ruled over 127, more than half. Okay, and that was a punishment to him because he was really meant to rule over. Is this thing making noise? Do you hear a hiss? Oh, it's not that. It's something else. Something in the back room. The sink is on. Okay, but he ruled over 127 Medina, so this is a discussion. Does it mean he ruled over the entire world? Or does it mean that he ruled over only half of the world? The Pashtus, according to the Medrash, is he ruled only half of the world. In punishment for stopping the construction of the, or at least not restarting the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Haman had 10 sons, he sent his 10 sons, this is recorded in Sefer Nehemiah. He dispatched his 10 sons to Eretz Yisrael, and the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash at this point in time were already built, and they were plotting through Vashti. Vashti was really the one who wanted very much, influenced him, that they should stop construction of the Beis HaMikdash and they should demolish the foundation. And in punishment for his rebellion against Kadosh Baruch Hu, he lost half of his malchus. He only remained with 127 medinas. Now during those days, Bayam Mohem Pasik Beis Kesheves Hamelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso Asher B'Shan Habiro. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Beis Kesheves Hamelech Achashverosh Kishniskay Malchus. We did this last week. Kishniskay Malchus B'Yodav Rabaseinu Perishu B'Ninacha B'Mesech Megillah. So we already learned interpretation. Kesheves Hamelech Achashverosh. Wait, what was the Gemara? I actually forgot the Gemara. I don't remember. What was the Gemara? What is it? Does it say? We'll come to it in a moment. Okay, but Bayom Ohem, when the Malchus was established, now the Chazal give him high credit. I'll read you an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Imi, Arba Devadim Tovim Hayu Ba'Oso Ish. Even though generally we do not like to give praise to a non-Jew, it's an unusual Gemara. The Gemara says in Medrash Esther Rabba that there are four good qualities in Achashverosh that we all can learn from. Number one, Oso Shalosh Shanim B'Loi Keser V'Loi Kisef. For the first three years, and it's really jumping. Good morning. It's jumping in the pasuk Gimel. B'shnas shalosh l'molchoi osa mishle l'chol sarav avadav. That for the first 3 years he did not establish himself. For the first 3 years he did not wear a keser, and he did not sit on his throne. Why? Because he wanted to learn the ropes. He wanted to show that he was a melech, he first wanted to gain some experience. And that is, this Chazal tell us something to learn from. That when a person is appointed to a new position, he should not flaunt, he should not publicly show himself that he is deserving of this position and enjoy the honor that comes with this position until a period of time passes and he has experience. The other three things it mentions here is that he waited 4 years until he found a proper wife. This means that after Vashti will be killed and Vashti will be replaced, he waited 4 years until he selected Esther. He did not marry a girl moment's notice. He was very careful going into the parasha of Shidduchim. The third thing was, he did not do anything without consulting with his advisors. After Vashti rebelled, refused to appear before Ahasuerus, he did not kill her before he consulted with his advisors, even though they had their own agenda. And the fourth thing was, so what were the four things? Also, shalosh and b'lo kesev
lo kisei. He went 3 years without a crown and without a throne.
So this is what we consider here very important. Shevach to Achashverosh.
What did he do about Shidduchim?
After Vashti was killed, he waited 4 years. 4 years until he married Esther. There was a 4 year gap between the time because that's what Chazal praised Achashverosh, that he did not rush into getting married.
It was 33.95.
He did not rush into getting married, which is a Myla. Just to go on the spur of the moment, the next girl that they proposed to him, he has no queen, he needs a new queen, so on the spur of the moment to marry a girl, that's not a Myla.
Although he was a Baltaiva. Right?
As a Baltaiva, so he satisfied his Tivus other ways. A political marriage.
Into the
Yeah, but the first marriage, Chazal said that Vashti was one of the most beautiful women in the entire world that ever existed.
True, but it was her lineage.
And she was in her lineage. She was the daughter. She was the daughter of Baal Shetzar. Okay, another interesting point we mentioned over here last week. Hamoylech. It's going back some things. Just things I left out from last week. Hamoylech. He came to a position of rulership. Hamoylech. Rashi here says there's a very big difficulty. Why was he called Hamoylech? There's a very big question as to the yichus of Achashverosh. Let's review some of the history. First, we had Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar comes to power. Nebuchadnezzar rules the world for 52, if I'm not mistaken, 52 years. Is that correct? I think for 52 years. After Nebuchadnezzar dies, Evel Merodach, his son, replaces Nebuchadnezzar. And that is replaced by, and then after Evel Merodach dies, Baal Shetzar succeeds Evel Merodach. These are the three kings of Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who founded Bavel. I mean, he was the founder symbol. He had a father. His father was Biladon. These are the three kings, the three major kings of Malchus Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and Baalshetzar. With the death of Baalshetzar began the new tkuf and klai shol of Modai uParas, sometimes Paras uModai. The first king of Modai, now Koresh was the king of Persia, and Modai was his son-in-law, Daryovesh HaModai.
What country is that, Modai?
Modai is Media, called Media. Media. The arrangement was, this was a joint partnership, the arrangement was that one year there'll be a melech from Modai, and the next year there'll be a king from Paras, and they'll alternate. So indeed, first it was ruled by Modai for 1 year by Daryovesh on Modai, and then the next year it went to Koresh, but Koresh refused to relinquish power, and that's why it remained in the hands of Modai for the remaining years. I have here an Akdama. Just one moment. Let me go over this inside. All right. We're gonna have to do this another time because I'm not prepared. All right, so but at this point in time, all right, you know, let's just go through some of the psukim, and then maybe we'll come back and fill in some, because I'm not very well prepared. All right, let's just go a little bit further in the psukim. So bayamuchem gesheres anachachshosh al kisei malchuso asher bishushan habira. Okay, there is one beautiful medrash. I think it's an important medrash. I just could read for you over here, so no, I won't have to plopple. Let me read you the words of the Medrash. This is Medrash says Medrash Ponim. Okay. When the Hashem created the world, I'll read you from the whole thing, it's not all that long. Zehu Sha'amar HaKosavuhu Mehashnei Idonaya Vizimnaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He changes the times. Idonaya Vizimnaya are the times. Now what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshane Itim Uzmanim U'Mesavim Sibos V'Kulam Rakadei Lehetiv L'Yisrael. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this world is to bring benefit to Klal Yisrael. Mitchilosoy Shel Briyas Ha'olam HaBechoros Hayu Makrivim. From the time that Hashem created the world, it was meant that the firstborns should be the one who receive power and control of this world. V'hein hayu noitlin es ha-gedula, v'chein at motzei, kishahara Kain es Hevel, when Kain killed Hevel, lo nivne ha-oila mehem, v'nidna ha-gedula l'sheis. Okay, it was meant, the world was meant to be given over to Kain. He was the firstborn of Adam. When Cain killed Hevel, Cain was punished, that the world, the shlit of the world was taken away from him and was given to Sheis. Kishos li'elokim zera acher. Sheis's firstborn was Enosh. The Enosh had a son, Canaan. Then there was a whole set of yichos all the way down to Noach. When Noach, nosanes hagdula l'shem. V'shem hoyu lo shnei banim. But Shame did not, that was the first time in the world where Gedula was taken away from the firstborn and was given to the second. What do we mean? The Shame Hoylo Shnei Banim, Vulinosanes Agedula, Loyal Rishon, Vulayla Shani, Shekenu, Aimer, Bnei Shame, Elam, Ve'ashur. But the third son of Shame was Arpachshad. Shehoya Oimid, who was Arpachshad? He was the forefather of, the ancestor of Avraham Avinu. Arpachshad had a few generations down Terach, and from Terach came Avram. So this is a very important yesod, that we see from the beginning of creation, everything went, Gedula always went to the firstborn. Cain was meant to have control of the world, but Cain sinned, so it went to Sheis. Sheis was the replacement. From Sheis, follow this line. It always went, even though Sheis had multiple children, it went to his firstborn, Enosh, Canaan, and v'chulu v'chulu down to Noach. Noach's oldest son was Shem. Shem, Cham, and Yofes. Shem received the Gedula. From Shem comes the world. But here is where things get off track. Shem had three sons. Elam, Ashur, and Arpachshad. For whatever reason, Shem gave over Shlita to Arpachshad, which went ultimately to Terach, which went to Avram. And from that came Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov going down to Klal Yisrael, all the way through the time of the Melachim, until Shlomo HaMelech, going through the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Yomim Shehoisa HaMalchus B'yad Banai Hayisi Mis Megalgal Imohem, as long as the Malchus was in control of Klal Yisrael, I had patience with them. Ze Oimid, even if some of the Malachim East, some of the Jewish kings were Rishoyim, it didn't matter. Ze Oimid, Rosh of Ze Med Tzadik, Ze Loivim Ze Perea. Hashem viewed the Malachim to be borrowing against each other. If one king was a Rasha, Hashem had patience with that particular king, because Hashem knew that in the next generation or two generations later, once again the Malachim would be Tzadikim. Now, Achshav, now that the Churban occurred, Klal Yisrael were no longer roiv that there should be Shechina among them. The Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed. Achshav shenitla malchus mibonai. So here's the key. This is a very powerful yesod in Jewish history. Tachzor lebeis avia. Let the malchus shlita of the world go back and return to the bechor. Who was the bechor? Where was the first time in history when Malchus deviated, went off track? Shame. Shame gave over his legacy, his Yerusha, to Arpachshad. That was Shelo Kedin. He was not Shelo Kedin because Klal Yisrael was meant to come from there, but Klal Yisrael had to be Roy. Once they were no longer Roy, let it go back to the Bechor. Who's the Bechor? Elam. Who is Elam? Elam is the ancestor of Paras. Shushan HaBira is located in the region of Elam. So this is the background to the Megillah. Now that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was just there to do the dirty work. He was a mercenary to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But Nebuchadnezzar is not Rohi. He's not Mizera HaMalucha. Nebuchadnezzar, that nation, the Kazdim, Chazal said, they're in a nation which had nothing. Everything they had, they took from someone else. It was not a real nation. They were mercenaries, just hoodlums that rose to power and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when Hashem wants there to be law and order, there should be dignity in the world, if Klal Yisrael is not going to have Shlita, it returns to the Bukhar. The Bukhar is Elam. Achshav shenitla malchus mibonai, tachsar hamalucha lebeis avia. Elam haya b'choroi shel shem u'v'shvil Yisrael nitla hamalchus me'ar pachshad shel heim b'bnei b'mona v'tachsa hamalchus le'elam shohoysa shalosh shenemar k'sheves hamelech ha'chashverosh al kisei malchuso asher b'shushan habira ve'in shushan ele elam shenemar v'ani b'shushan habira asher be'elam ha'medina. Okay, so this is a very important yesod to understand the background to Megillas Esther. The reason now that Kesheves HaMelech Achashver Nebuchadnezzar and the 70 years of his control is not considered in Hashem's eyes to be a legitimate Malchus. The Kasdim and the Babylonians, they are not a real nation. They are not a people that are royal Malchus. They were there just to punish Klal Yisrael for their sins. When Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, he gives the nation and punishes them prestige. He raised them up to a degree of prestige, but that cannot be sustained because it's not roy for them, the Malchus. It had to be transferred to a nation that deserves Malchus, and if Klal Yisrael is not going to have the Malchus, it goes back to the Bukhar. And in the history, the timeline of history, the Malchus that deserves them, the Bukhar, is Elam. He was the firstborn of shame, and now that's what the pasuk over here says, Bayamim Ohem Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchus. So, Asher b'Shushan Habira. Shushan Habira is in Elam. We're now going back on track to who gets the Malchus when it's taken away from Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's another important Medrash. Yeah. This comes from the Medrash Ponim Acherim. That's what it says here in this Sefer. Medrash Ponim Achedim. Okay, now there's another important Yisod Asher B'Shushan HaBira. We mentioned it. Let's read the Targum Pasuk Beis. The Targum B'Yomar Ho'inun. During those days, Kad Be'om Malka Achashverosh L'Misav Al Kursei Malchuso De Shlomo. It was during those days when Achashverosh wanted to sit on the throne of Shlomo. The Ishtaba Min Yerushalayim Al Yidohi De Sheshak Malka De Mitzrayim. That was captured. The Kisei, the throne of Shlomo was portable. It was mobile. They were able to put it on some tractor trailer and transport it. And when Sheshak, the king of Mitzrayim, when they conquered Yerushalayim at some point earlier in time during the various wars that took place during when Klal Yisrael was still had Shlita, it was taken by Sheshak, but the king of Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim Ishtaba al Yido de Sancheriv, and Mitzrayim was ultimately conquered by Sancheriv. Umin Yidohi de Sancheriv Ishtaba, the throne was taken al Yado de Chizkiyah, the Sov Yerushalayim, the throne was restored to Yerushalayim by Chizkiyahu, the Sov Min Yerushalayim Ishtaba al Yado de Paro Chagira, again, Paro, the lame, he was called Chagir because because he actually sat on the throne and he was injured by sitting on the throne. Malko de Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, and again from Mitzrayim Ishtaba al Yidoi de Nebuchadnezzar, it was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, Unichas le Bavel, Vichad Sido Koresh Mido Yos Bavel, Achase le Elam, and when Koresh the Mido, Koresh from Modai, when he conquered Bavel, when Koresh conquered together with Daryavish, when he conquered Bavel, Achasele Elam, good morning. He took the throne of Shlomo HaMelech to Elam. Uvasar Kein Melach Achashverosh. Uva'ol Mitav Alohi. And he wanted to sit on the Kisei Malchus of Shlomo that was located currently in Elam. Okay, Elam is a different, not in Shushan. Elam, Shushan is part of Elam, but it was in a different region. It was in where Bavel was located. Province, but it was located where Nebuchadnezzar was stationed. The law have Yochil. He was unable to sit on the throne. The reason why he was unable to sit on the throne was he was warned that this throne is magical, it's complex, and it can sense that you're not from the Zera of Klal Yisrael, of David HaMelech, and it will injure you if you'll sit down on the throne. Something supernatural, or some type of a fascinating engineering feat will occur where you will be crippled, just like Paro Necho generations earlier was crippled when he sat down on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. So what then did he do? The Shadar, he sent, I say, Dicholin min Alexandria. He sent the best engineers from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim Lemevat Chivasei to study it and to make a replica. V'lo yichilu, and they were unable. They were unable to make an exact replica. So they made something similar. Vavadu Ocharon Araminik the is Askube train shanin. So instead, so they I'm not sure what it means there above, but it means generally is they try to make a replica. They decide they were not able to actually transport the original. I think what it means they wanted to take apart the original. Okay, I'm not exactly sure. They basically made a replica of the throne of Shlomo, and it took them 3 years. The is Askube train shanin. They went and they were busy. Train shanin, 2 years. Uveshata tilisa'a de malchusei. And now in the third year, yisev ilavei, ahu kursei malchusei. They sat upon it, avodule ardi cholin b'shushan b'ranta. And now he sat upon it in the third year in Shushan habir. Now some of the commentators, they elaborate upon the ministry, they explain is that the reason why it was constructed in Shushan habir is because in Shushan habira, that's where the biggest experts were. They had the wisest, the geniuses, the people who knew how to craft to replicate the throne of Shlomo were located in Shushan Bira. They had the tools, the materials that they needed, and they built it there, but that was not the plan. The plan was, after they built it, to transport it to Elam, to transport it to where Bavel was originally located, and that's where he would set up the capital of his Malchus. However, when they finished constructing the throne, they were unable to transport it. It was too heavy, it was too complex. So this is an amazing thing. It's just mind-boggling to believe this. Because you cannot transport the throne, they decided to build a capital around the throne. It's like you want to go buy a piece of furniture in a furniture store, you go to Macy's, and you can't get the dining room table out of the building. So instead, you knock down the whole building and you build your house around in that location. That's exactly what he did. His seat of Malchus was meant to be in Elam. That's where the government was located. He could not, they built the throne in the factory. They could not transport the throne from the factory to where his capital was. So they decided to relocate the capital where the throne was. That's what it says. The Medrash goes a step further, and the Medrash says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrate all of this? Because in Shushan HaBira lived a humble, simple man by the name of Mordechai HaYehudi. If Achashverosh would have succeeded in bringing the throne from Shushan HaBira to the capital Elam, And then Haman would have convinced Ahasuerus to issue a decree to wipe out the Jewish people, that Mordechai would not have been on site, would not have been on location, and the whole Purim story would not have evolved. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what was going to happen, wanted to make it convenient for Mordechai, this is his hometown, he arranged this thing to happen way in advance that the throne should be located. So it's an amazing message, because the message here is coming to tell us over here that this pasuk over here, which alludes, Vayomachim Keshevas HaMelech HaChashverosh Al Kisei Malchus. So, the pasuk over here is coming to tell us about the Kisei Malchus, telling us about this obsession that Ahasuerus had with the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, and the fact that he wanted to make a replica, and the only place he can make a replica was the Shushan HaBira. All of this is the foreshadowing, is the refuah koidem the makah. It's part of the setup. It's not just the pasuk. Oh, Ahasuerus was the king. No, this kalkisei malchuso asher b'shushan habira. It is all part of the refuah koidem the makah. The makah to prepare for what's coming next. Okay, let's go further. B'shnas shalosh malcho, in the third year of his malcho, asam mishter lecholus rav avodav, he made a party for all of his princes and his servants. Chel, the army of parasumadai. The army of Parasamadai, HaPartanim. Partanim is an expression which means, Rashi here right away says, Shultainim, Beloshin Paras. This is a Persian word which means the rulers, the various rulers, the army and the rulers, Vesore Hamedina Stefanov, and the princes were all in his presence in this party that he made in the third year of his Malchus. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Gimel. You'll help me along with it, because I don't know the translation of all these words. Peshata, this last Malchus, the Ahasuerus, in the third year of the Malchus of Ahasuerus, Avad Mashkaya, he made a Mishteh. He made a Mishnah. Mishteh, and Rashi makes it very clear, Mishteh is Mashkaya, means a drinking. It was a Mishteh Yayin. The primary purpose of this party was to drink, was not to eat. Umitul Ma Avad Mashkaya. And he provided whatever drink you wanted. Is the Omrin de Mordin Alohi? Now some say the people rebelled against him. Apar Chaya. Now he's coming to think, what was the purpose of this party? So someone has explained the reason why he made this party was because at this point in time he restored his Malchus. There was a province that rebelled against him. Is the Amen de Mordin Alohi Arpachia? There was a district that rebelled. Va'azal v'chab shinun, he conquered it. Uvosar de achbe shinun also v'ovad mashkaya, he made a party to celebrate his success, his military victory. The Istiyam, or some say, Yoma de Eda Havale, it was a holiday. Ushadar Igartu L'chulhen Medinasa, he sent letters to all of the Medinas L'meisei to come L'mevad Kodamohi Chedvasa, to celebrate this pagan holiday. Shalach, he sent V'zamen Kol Rav Rivonei Medinasa, all of the leaders of the Medinas, the Yesuni Shekam, the Yechduni Mei, they should rejoice with him, V'asu Kodamohi, and came in front of him, Me'o, the Arsin Ushva Malchin, 127 kings, Min Me'ov, the Arsin Ushva Medina, from the 170 districts that were mentioned, the Medinas that were mentioned in the previous Pasuk. The Chulon Kitire, they were all crowned, Toge Birei Shehoin, they all were wearing crowns on their head, Fahavos Simichin Le Al Ginze Milosa, they were lying upon various silk beds, the Achlin, the couches, the Achlin, they were eating, the Chadion, they were celebrating Kodam Malka in front of the king, Fahava, Partunoe, and the leaders, that's the word, the Partanim, the leaders, the Rav Rivone, and all the other leaders, Medinasa, the various lead, the governors and the leaders of the Medinas Kadamim before him, Lumin Rav Ravonei Yisrael. Now here's where the Targum begins to tell us some additional facts. And from the leaders of Yisrael, Hava Tamon were there as well. Mitul de Chazu Tamon, because the Chazu Tamon Monei Beis Mikdashaya, from the leaders of Klal Yisrael were also present. and Nitul de Chazut Haman Mane Beis Mikdashah, and because the leaders of the Jewish people, who also were representatives of the government, who also were present, they saw the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, Havon Bochyon, they cried, Umaspedon Taman, they eulogized over there. So this is something which it's not clear where in the Targum he reads this into the Pasuk. He's obviously embellishing the Pasuk, but among the 127 leaders was also the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They saw the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, and they were mourning over there. Now, I saw one of the Sfarim, he says, this is a very big Musar Haskel for us, this Medrash, this Chazal, that we think that a person can be misled to believe that if you have if a secular government gives kavod to Klal Yisrael and appoints to his inner cabinet Jews, then we are safe and secure in Galus. And the response to that false idea is the Megillas Esther, where Achashverosh invited to this party Jewish representatives, Jewish leaders. It says here in the Targum that they were among the elite, the highest echelon in society. They were present at this party. And what more do we need? Then we're going to see that when at this party, Vashti refused to appear in front of him, he consulted first with the Chachamim Yoidei Hoitim, which Chazal tells us, which means the Sanhedrin, who are knowledgeable of the times. And he appointed Mordechai HaYehudi, was appointed to his inner cabinet. And yet, with all of this, Achashverosh did not hesitate for a moment to sell the Jews to Haman, Lahashmid, Laharagu, La'abed, it's called La'Yehudim. And the Musar Haskel is that just because in government we are respected and we have our own representatives in Congress and in all the highest positions in government. Jack Lew is a Shomer Shabbos. Senator Lieberman, he came that close to becoming the Vice President of the United States.
Shelley Silver,
okay. Don't laugh, you should be good and well. Okay, it's very difficult times now. And the learning should be a zechus for him. Okay, he should be. He did a tremendous, a lot of chesed he did for a lot of people.
Ain't over yet.
And look what happens. Look what happens. All of the sense of security that we have in Klal Yisrael, it didn't make a difference, and it was completely. In a heartbeat, Achashverosh, he sold Klal Yisrael without any consultation. When his wife rebelled against him, he consulted with all of his greatest advisors on what to do. But when Haman came and said, "I want to purchase the Jews and I want to destroy them," he didn't consult with anyone. On the spot, he said, "Good, do it. You keep the money. It's on the house." So it just goes to show that you can never be secure in Galus. Okay, let's go.
You can never be too safe.
Okay, let's another thing I want to put on the according to one of the midrashim, this medrash alludes to the fact that there was a battle. According to one opinion, the reason why they made this party was because there was a battle. There was one district, one medina, that rebelled against Achashverosh, and he succeeded in conquering this medina. According to one, I think it's the Targum Sheni. The Targum Sheni is very long, very elaborate. We'll talk about it another time. But the one who was the general in this war was Mordechai. The one that succeeded in taking back this medina. The Targum over here is telling us over here that according to us, some say, the reason why he made this party was because there was a medina that rebelled against Achashverosh. And this medina was a threat to his entire malchus. Once one medina rebels, who knows, everyone can start rebelling. So they went out to war. The two generals in war were Haman and Mordechai. This is what it says in the Medrash. Haman and Mordechai, they were generals in this war. Haman was foolish in how he conducted himself and exerted his authority over his battalion, over his soldiers. Mordechai was clever. Mordechai knew exactly what to do, and in fact, Mordechai saved Haman. He saved Haman's hide in this event, and it was only due to the success of Mordechai that this Medina was restored to Ahasuerus. Some, in fact, learned that the Medina was Hodu. Okay, that's how the Medina begins. That's what the Medina says. Hodu was the Medina that Pasuk Beis, the Targum Pasuk Beis says, rebuild against Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus sent Mordechai and Haman to go to Hodu to take back the Medina. Mordechai succeeded. Hodu was restored. So now it was Mehodu viat Kush. Kush was the most secure Medina in Ahasuerus's Malchus. Hodu was the weakest. So it means Hodu viat Kush, from the weakest to the strongest. His Malchus was solidified. And to celebrate, he made a party. Who should have been the celebrity at this party? Mordechai. Mordechai should have been the celebrity party. Mordechai's people should have been invited because they're the ones who saved the Medina. And yet, Mordechai comes to this party, and what does he see? He sees the big day Malchus on display, the big day Kahuna on display, and he's saddened, and they cry, and they mourn. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Baharo is soy pasuk. Dal Baharo, somebody showed off. Yeah.
I read somewhere that was this the party that you invited
us
to go to?
Okay, we're going to discuss that in a few moments. Let's just read a few of Psukim, and we're going to see a little more. Let's just run through the Psukim. The Harai, so what did he do at this party? He displayed his Oysher Kivayd Malchuso. He, after 3 years into his Malchus, he now displayed his wealth, the Oysher, the wealth, Kivayd Malchuso, of his honor, the Esyukar, Teferes, Kedulasa, the splendor, various words which mean to us the same thing, Yokar, Teferes, Gidulasa, of his greatness, Yomim Rabim, Shmoinim u'ma'asyom, many days for 180 days. Let's do pasuk hey. Uvim lois hayamim u'ela. At the end of these 180 days, asa ha'melech l'chol am ha'nimtzim b'shushan ha'bira l'migadol v'yach katan. It did not matter your stature, your position in society. Mishte shevas yamim. Another party for 7 days. Bachatzar in the courtyard. Ginas the garden. Bisan ha'melech. Bisan is the name of the melech. Let's see Rashi in these two pasukim. Pasuk dalid. Yamim rabim asa lohen mishte. He made this party for many days. Okay, so Rashi is telling us the Pasuk Dalid, when it says Yamim Rabim is going back on the party, does not mean, don't be mistaken to say Baharosos Osher Kvod Malchuso Vyesikar Teferis Kudloso Yamim Rabim. No, do not suggest that Yamim Rabim means that he displayed his Osher and his Kvod Malchus and Yakar for many days. No, not necessarily. That's a separate statement. He displayed his Oysher Kvod Malchuso, Vyes Yikar Teferis Kedulaso. He displayed it for whatever that means, either for a short time or a long time, but the party went on for 180 days. So it could very well mean that Rashi is coming to diminish, that he did not necessarily display for 180 days straight his Oysher and the Kvod Malchuso. That was only on display for short periods of time. The party went on for 180 days. It was a party in the basement. In the base, they didn't go show off all of his greatness. It was 180 days of celebration, but the amount of time that he displayed the Oysher and the Kvod and Yukar to Teferis Kedulos could may have well been for a shorter period of time. That is what Rashi. What?
Like the Academy Awards.
What do you mean?
Awards, and then they have parties.
And they have parties. So the award period is just for a short period of time. And the parties go on for a long period of time.
It went on for 6 months then.
It went on for 6 months. Yamim Rabim. Keginas, ginas, mokim, zeroine, yirokos. The garden is a place where they grow vegetables. Bisan is natua bilanos. So he has two words. There were vegetables and there were fruits. Two different types of trees. Now the big question, it was an outdoor party. Now the first one point out that here's the very big debate. The very big debate is when it says that it was 180 days, and then it says 7 days, does that mean that the 7 days came after the 180 days, or does it mean that the 7 days were the last 7 days of the 180 days? And what will be the nafkamina? So the big nafkamina is exactly when did this party take place? Because the very last day, as the next part is going to say, we're going to get a little bit later on the seventh day of this party is when he demanded that Vashti arrive, Vashti should come, and she refused, and that's when she was killed. That's when, okay, it happened right away, but the time when he demanded that Vashti should come will be on the seventh day of this second party. Was this second party the end, an additional party to the 180 days, or was it the last thing? That will be the nafkamina. So the truth is, there are many opinions as to exactly when the party, the 180 days started. Some say the 180 days started on Rosh Hashanah. Now 180 days is approximately exactly 6 months. So from Rosh Hashanah, which is the Tishrei, until 6 months, until Chodesh Nisan. So that means that if you want to calculate the 7 days as being part of the 180 days, the last day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, what is the significance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the day of the Chanukas HaMishkan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was erected in Chodesh Nisan, and here on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when he's displaying the Big Day Malchus, the Big Day Kahuna, and it rubbed it into Klal Yisrael that here on the day when you would normally be commemorating the Chanukas HaMishkan, now I'm going to make a party to celebrate the fact that you no longer will have a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was obviously an outgrowth of the Mishkan. So it was the anniversary of the Chanukas HaMishkan. That's all if you hold that it was, if it concluded on the 7 days was included in the 180 days. But some say no. Some say that the 7 days was after. So it was 180 days, and then he made an additional 7 days. So that would take us to Zion Nisan. Now the truth is, that's also not so simple. Okay, let me see if I can recall. Okay, here. Let me read you over here what it says over here. Okay.
Those that learned that it was included. Pasuk, it's not mashma like that. Wasn't after the 180 ended? No.
Okay. Yomim rabim. Okay. Let's see if I can just let's see over here what it says. Okay, some want to suggest it's the other way around. All right, we're gonna have to do this another time because I don't really. All right, we'll have to do this another time. The exact calculation, but the point is, when do the kings of the Goyim, when are their years calculated? Are their years calculated from Tishrei, or are their years calculated from Nisan? So there's a difference between Klal Yisrael, the Malchei, this is the Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Malchei Yisrael, their years are calculated from Nisan, and the Malchei Umos Olam are calculated from Tishrei. So when did Achashverosh begin to celebrate the third year of his Malchus? The Pashto says he began to celebrate his Malchus from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. That's why the party began on Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, because in the court of the Umos Olam, their years are calculated from Aleph Tishrei. But he also wanted to show Klal Yisrael that my Malchus is secure. It's 3 years into my Malchus, which means that it's basically 70 years since the Golus of Yechoniah, even according to your calculation. when is your calculation, when do the years begin according to your calculation? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now let's take a step back. What was the purpose of this party? The Targum told us two reasons. Either it's because it was a holiday, it was some pagan holiday, that's what the Targum says, or his first interpretation was he succeeded in some military victory. There was a Medina that rebelled against him and he reconquered that Medina, so he's celebrating the solidification of his Malchus. But Chazal in the Masechta Megillah tells us it was a celebration that the Geula for the Jewish people has not come. Now let's review. There are basically three different Kufas for Pekida, for remembrance. The first Pekida was the death of Baal Shetzar. Baal Shetzar died, was killed exactly 70 years to the day from the time Nebuchadnezzar conquered Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Ashur. Before Nebuchadnezzar, before Babel became a world power, the world power of the time was the Malchus of Ashur. Sancheref was the king of Ashur. He almost came very close to conquering Yerushalayim. He was the world power. And his Malchus waned until it came, Nebuchadnezzar rose, and Nebuchadnezzar conquered Ashur. 70 years later to the day was the night when there was the handwriting appeared on the wall, the night when the Modim, they conquered the Malchus of Baal Shetzar, of Bavel, and they took over Shlita, over the world of the Umos HaOlam. That was the first. Now, what happened on that night? Baal Shetzar, on that night, he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which he had in his possession, and he celebrated. Why did he celebrate? Because his calculation was, there was a nevuah from Yirmiyah, that after 70 years of the Malchus of Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be poiked, will remember Klal Yisrael. Baal Shetzar made the calculation from the time that the Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. Nebuchadnezzar rose to power on the day from when he conquered Nineveh. The Baal Shetzar said it's been exactly 70 years since Nineveh has been conquered. Bavel has replaced the Malchus of Ashur. The Jewish people have no hope of redemption. It's therefore time to celebrate. Achashverosh said that Baal Shetzar was foolish. The prophecy of Yirmiyah was not from the time when Nineveh would, when Babel would conquer Ashur, but it's the time of the Golos, when the Jewish people were exiled. When was the first time the Jewish people were exiled? 11 years before the Churban. Melech Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin was taken to Golos with the Choresh v'Hamasker, 11 years before the Churban. Achashverosh said, now it's exactly 70 years from the Golos of Yehoyachin, and now is the time we can take out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and we can celebrate that the Jewish people are not going to be redeemed. Now there was another debate. When exactly do we make the celebration? Do we calculate the years based upon the years from the time of Tishrei, or do we calculate the years from the time of Nisan? What is the calculation? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying, we're making this calculation, it's going to be 70 years of the Malchus of Bavel, and then the Gula will come. He was himself not sure if the calculations from Tishrei or from Nisan, from the calculation of the Umos HaOlam, the calculation of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he made a double celebration. He started the celebration on Chodesh Tishrei. So that would then be the beginning of the new year. It would be exactly 70 years from the time when Yechonia was going into exile, calculating from Tishrei. And that party went on for 180 days. And now it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And still nothing has happened. And still the Jewish people have not been redeemed. So now even according to if the calculation is based upon the Jewish calendar of Nisan, they also have not been redeemed. And we can make another party celebrating the downfall of the Jewish people. Now the true calculation was the calculation not from the Golos of Yechonia, but was from the Golos of Tzidkiyahu, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And indeed, 11 years later is when, 11 years later is the time when Ezra went up to Eretz Yisrael, after Daryovesh, the son of Esther, gave Rishus for the Mikdash to be rebuilt, and indeed they started rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and that was exactly 70 years from the time of Tzidkiyahu, the Golos of Tzidkiyahu. What's very interesting is that you see that it was, if you would ask someone today, and you would say, well, it's going to be 70 years of Galus. The average person on the shul would tell you, of course, the calculation is from the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because we look back, hindsight is 20/20. We look back in history, what's the ikar? The ikar is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. See, we don't really understand. That was the most least likely interpretation of the Nevuah from the perspective of the people living at the time. Because they understood, what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is just the building. It's just stone and wood. The ikar is the Shechina. The ikar is Klal Yisrael Oisim Ritzoino Shel Malkein. And from that, their point of view, who cares? It's a building. The building is just a shell. It can't be, this is going to be the ikar zman of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to calculate the 70 years. When Nebuchadnezzar rises to power, and now he is bent on destroying Klal Yisrael, in the eyes of the Umos Olam, this is the Churban. The Churban is the Klal Yisrael, they're now subjugated under a tyrant. That's the ikar Churban. The building, there's a building standing. Who cares about the building? If that's not going to be the ikar, at least we could, when the Talmidei Chachamim, the Choresh Vahamaskar, Yechonya, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, that's the ikar. A building, stone and wood, that's what counts. But the truth was, the Shechina was still present, and the correct calculation was, well, I should say the correct calculation, a lot of the Mepharshim say, there is no correct calculation. Nevuah is something which is vague. Nevuah can be fulfilled in multiple ways. And if Klal Yisrael were deserving, then the Geula would have come in the first calculation from the time of the rise of, from the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. If they missed that opportunity, the next best opportunity they had was the time of the Golus of Yechonia. If they would, they unfortunately were not ready for that. So the last thing to fall back on was another fulfillment of Nevuah was going to be 70 years from the time of the Golus of Sidkiyahu. Because Nevuah is not etched in stone. It all depends upon when we are ready for that Nevuah. So here, this pasuk is coming. He's displaying the Oisher. He's making this party. The pasuk over here says that he's made a party over here, and this party took place exactly. There were two parties. We'll learn over some of the two parties. There was 180 days, and there's a party now for 7 days. Let's see, let's take a look at the Targum of these few psukim. Pasuk Dalet. Uvasar. Pasuk Dalet, the Targum. Uvasar, da chalu v'shasu v'is panku. Spanku, after they ate and they drank the spanku and they enjoyed themselves, Achazelon Yos Osrei, he displayed his wealth. Di ishtar bidei min Koresh Modoa, what remained in his possession from the time of Koresh the Modai, v'uf Koresh Ashkach hu Ashra bitzad usay de Bavel. Now, where did Koresh, the wealth that Achashverosh is displaying, is wealth that he inherited from Koresh? Where did Koresh find this wealth? So it says he found it Bitsadusid Bavel when he conquered Bavel, when Koresh conquered Bavel, Chafar he dug Bisfar Piros along the river of Piros, the edge of Piros, the Ashkach Taman, he found over there Shisma 600, the Samlon 680, Achmisin Din Chosha, containers of copper. Malyon, these containers of copper were filled with Dahav Tov Yehoirin Uvulrin this and filled with the best gold, Uvulrin Visan Dalchin. Okay, various types of commodities, a very fine precious material that was found in these containers. I don't know what those words are. Uvahu Osra, and with that wealth, Tikef Yikore Yoimin Sagiin, and with that wealth he displayed, he was elevated, his honor for many days. So notice here that the Targum disagrees with Rashi. That's the point. That's exactly why Rashi made this point, because he's coming to disagree. It says that with that wealth, Tekef Yikorei Yoimin Sagiin, it was exalted his honor for many days. Okay, so notice the Yomim Rabim is not going on the Nishteh. The Yomim Rabim can be going on years. For many years, all the years of his malchus, he was viewed as being a great, powerful person because money talks. There was no one as wealthy as Achashverosh. And then the Targum goes on to say, "Umishtayol lerav rivono no me'ov v'samnin yomin." He made a party for his leaders for 180 days. So the yomim rabin v'achlekes Rashi Targum. What is it going on? And apostle Uvi Ash Lomus Yomei Mishtayahilain, when these days were over, Avad Malkol Chol Amo Beis Yisrael. So notice what it says, he made the second party for 7 days. Does not say this in the Pasuk. According to it's only in the Targum, that the party, the last 7 days, was only for Klal Yisrael. The party for the first 180 days was for the Umos Ha'olam. The party the last 7 days, whether it means it was 7 days after the 180 days, or whether it means that it was the 7 days that were the last 7 days of the 180 days, was only for Klal Yisrael. The Shtaku Chayova, who were guilty. The Targum over here says that the Jews here were sinners. The Jews were sinners. Why were they sinners? Because they participated in this party. Mordechai warned them not to participate because the food wasn't kosher. Yayin Esach. Or because there was a celebration of their galus. B'shushan biranta, in Shushan Abira, the isminiu im ar loin, dayori ara, that they were counted together with the non-Jews who lived in the land, lemin rabo v'yadzir, from the great until the small, mishtoya, a party, shiv'o yamin, 7 days, v'doras ginta, ga'ava, the malka, in the dwelling place of the garden, the great garden of the king, tahavas nitziva ilane, he planted trees of odin perin, which produced fruit, uvus monin, and sweet things, kivishon, ad pal gushoin. Okay, I don't know what these words. What?
What was the motivation of Achashverosh to make a separate party for the Jews?
To rub it in. Yeah, so that's what we explained. To rub it in.
The Jews also at the major party. 180.
No, so only it says there at that party, the Targum says only the ministers. Only the Jewish ministers attended that party. The first party was only for the Jewish ministers. The second party was for the Jewish population. The Jewish population that were guilty.
The integrated party, the Goyim and the Jews.
Correct.
Second party, he made just for the Jews, simple to rub it in.
Correct, exactly. That's what it says. He made l'amo l'chol amo beis Yisrael, for the entire Jewish people. They were the guests at this party to rub it into them that your chances of Geula have come to an end. It's now been 70 years since Golus Yehoyachin. Even according to your calculation, it's Chodesh Nisan. There is no Geula in sight, and therefore, let's celebrate your downfall.
I thought the Jewish calendar, the New Year starts from Tishrei, not from...
Jewish calendar, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. The Jewish calendar, without exception, starts from Nisan, without any doubt.
I'm talking about the
Yoim Hadin. The Yoim Hadin is on Aleph Tishrei. But as far as the counting the calendar of the years, it begins with Chodesh Nisan. It's Nisan. And even as far as the counting, the calculation of 70 years, he celebrated has come to it. Let's go over here. So he made over here a party. Ad pal gushoin dehav tahav tahav, which he captured. He made over here a party to have netzivus ilone avdin perin uvusmin kivishon al pul pal gushoin. I don't know what this means. I really don't know what this means. Okay, dehav tahav good of gold ushlimu. The Ashlamus Even Tova, and it was completed with precious stones, Umitalin Ala Vehoin, and they were carried upon these precious stones. I don't know, it's just a display of enormous wealth. But the point here is Biram Mordechai Tzadiko Visiate Lo Havutaman. So here the Targum is over here that there was one person that was missing from this party. And the one that was missing from this party was none other than Mordechai HaYehudi.
Was this a command performance
that
they had to go?
Yes, so that's a good question. Was it a requirement? Was it a requirement so that they could have, they didn't have a choice? Why are they held accountable for going to this party? If they didn't come to this party, they would have been killed. They would have been killed. So yeah, they talk about that in the Farshim. I don't know. Seemingly they had a choice. And that's why they were guilty for participating in this party.
Well, the Lemuvia Nisa makes a point to saying that for eating trade, they wouldn't be chayav death. That's not what the punishment is for eating trade. It's malchus. However, what was the deserving of death was the fact that they were miayish on the gula, that the forecasting, the dua of 70 years, after 70 years, they thought it had come. They bought into Achashverosh's mindset, and when they took out the caliph from the base of Middush, they also were miayish on the gula, and for that they deserved to die. And that's what the reality was. And the reason that it happened in Shushan was that was the highest, the Ibn Ezra says that's why that was the highest concentration of the Jewish population was in Shushan, and they would therefore witness the miracles that would soon take place.
Once in the Gemara, how Shafur is being served.
We'll see. Kiritzoyim ish v'ish. Okay, we'll see some of that soon. Okay, we'll see some of that soon.
Kiritzoyim says the chayav klai not because they ate.
They had pleasure.
They enjoyed it. Why did they have to enjoy it? It's not that they ate, they enjoyed it.
Okay, a few short yisoidas. First of all, Mefarshim point out the difference between Klal Yisrael and Achashverosh. Pasuk Dalet says, Beharoisoy, it's Oysher Kvoid Malchusov, Yesikar Teferes Gedulaso. Yaakov Avinu told his children when there was a famine, Chazal, when there was a famine in Canaan, he told them, go down to Mitzrayim to purchase Lishbar Bar. Mitzrayim. Chazal said there was no need for Yaakov's children really to go down to Mitzrayim to purchase food because they had plenty of food. Yaakov Avinu had a bracha, they had enough what to eat, they prepared for the famine. He said, nevertheless, Lama Tisro. You're living here in Golas. You're living over here among the neighbors. If they're going to see that you have food, you have parnasa, they're going to get jealous, and it's going to cause problems. Don't display, don't show off the fact that you have parnasa. It is kedai to endanger yourself by traveling in ancient times all the way down to Mitzrayim to behave just like everyone else. If your neighbors are going down to Mitzrayim, they're spending time and money to go down to Mitzrayim to purchase food, you also go, even though you don't need the food, because Lama Tisro. Don't show off in Golas. The midah of showing off is a Goyish midah. It's Achashverosh. Beharoi. So they contrast the words of Yaakov. Lama Tisrohu. Why should you appear wealthy, affluent, in the presence of your neighbors? You're inviting tsaros. Lama Tisrohu. If you want to go and you want to show off your wealth, you're behaving like Achashverosh hu b'rishosa mitchilosa v'yatsoifai b'haroisoyes oysher kveid malchuso v'yes yikar teferis g'duloso. This is not a Jewish man. This is a Musa Haskell for us in our society today. It's not a good thing to show off.
A king has a difference.
But it's a king. Alright, okay, he's saying it's a show of Malchus, but he definitely went overboard. Okay, another Varda, this is a very powerful Varda from Yisoid. It doesn't include, I mean, you have to develop it on your own from the contrast of the two Psukim by Rav Zalman Sorotskin in his Sefer Megillas Esther. He says, V'yes yikar teferes gedulo, so yomim rabim shmoinim uma'asyom. We're calling here many days, let's learn according to Rashi. Machloikis, the medicine of Rashi, is Yomim Rabim going on his Oysher and his Malchus. He was respected for many years. Okay, but Rashi learns, no, the Yomim Rabim is defining 180 days. Yaakov Avinu, he worked for Lavan for 7 years. Vayiyu be'enov Yomim Achadim, ki Yomim Achadim be'ahav also osa. Because of his love for Rachel, the hard slave labor of 7 years was Yomim Achodim, a few days, was nothing. Here, this was the closest thing you can have to Gan Eden on this world. This Suda. This Suda made Suda Shlema B'Kashaytai just like a went to a pauper. This the Chazal actually say that this was mamish Gan Eden. What was taking place at this party was Gan Eden in this world. But because the people who were participating in the suda were consuming the food and enjoying it shaloi l'shem shemayim for their own tivos, it was called yomim rabim. It's considered to be even 180 days is yomim rabim. It was a burden. It's a long time. When something is not a l'shem shemayim, then the time is felt. But when something is l'shem shemayim, look at the contrast. You have to develop it. I'm not kind of developing it well, but you look at the contrast between these two different events. Yomim rabim of the party over here, kesudah, this is the ultimate suda, versus the yomim achadim of Rachel and Rachel, Yaakov working for Rachel. Yeah, Michal, what do you want to say?
Yomim rabim, according to the Medrash, is considered a time of avelus. Avelus feels like
a long time. Right, and so exactly this idea.
Our expressions found like that, since they were rubbing it in the face of the Jews, and the use of the temple. So therefore, it seemed to the Jewish people like the Yomim rabim.
The 70th year ended the Rosh Chodesh. So he waited that second, then right of made a party. Why could? How?
Yeah.
What made him so? Why was he so convinced?
Because he calculated there was a nevuah from Yirmiyahu. Yeah. After 70 years, will come to the end of the Malchus. Right. It will become the end of the Galus. I don't know the exact pasuk. And now 70 years have passed since the from the time of Golos Yehoyachin. 70 years have passed, and Klal Yisrael are in Golos. Nothing has changed. It doesn't appear the Beis Hamikdash is in ruins. It's not been rebuilt, and Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael is in Golos, and nothing is happening. So it goes to show that the Nevuah is battle. Okay, we'll stop over here.
11 years later.